And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 179, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm your host for this. And this week, we are just continuing on with where we left off last week, and we are covering the last few issues of Thor, God of Thunder. And next week, we might have a week off from that. Not a week off from the show, but a week off from doing Thor, God of Thunder, because we do have a myth to cover next week, being, of course, one of our ninth episodes. So, yeah. So it's possible that we may not be covering an issue next time. But you never know. You know, you never know about these myths and how long they take. And so that's just kind of what we have going on. Not really a lot going on other than that. I mean, it just has not been a very eventful week. You know, the winter has been relatively mild over the last week, and so, you know, it's kind of been nice out, and I've been wanting to go outside and do stuff. Unfortunately, for various reasons, I haven't been able to. So I've been spending either time indoors at work or time indoors at home, and not a lot of time outdoors, which is kind of a shame because it actually has been really nice over the last few days. That's too bad about that. Anyhow, we do have an issue of Thor God of Thunder to cover, so here we go with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And this week we have Thor God of Thunder, issue number 21. Cover date is June of 2014. Retailed for $3.99. Jason Aaron was the writer. Isad Rebic is the artist. Ives Fortsina is the color artist. VC's Joe Sabino is the letterer. Isad Rebic was the cover artist. And if you got the variant, then you have Ron Garney doing the cover there. John Moisan is the assistant editor. Will Moss is the editor. Axel Alonso, the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And the executive producer is Alan Fine. The very colorful cover here by Isad Rebic shows Thor, and he's smashing something big and green with his hammer, which I assume is some sort of Roxxon-y sort of machinery. And we have some, I don't know, it looks like Kirby machinery in the back, sort of. There's people hanging on ropes, and oh, that could be a helicopter. It could be Airwolf. in joke there for listeners of Fantasticast. No, I'm not going to do the song because, no, that's just lame. Anyway, so we have a cover blurb, The Last Days of Midgard, Part 3. I like how they put this ad for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right on the front cover. It, you know, there's some, a lot of things about Marvel now that annoy me, and this is, you know, maybe number 10 on the list, but really, the advertising on the cover, just, I mean, it's not as bad as making Alfheim into Candyland, but anyway. So opening up to the splash page, once again, we have a roll call, which I remember I said last week, I kind of like these. So the roll call is Old Galactus. In the far future, Galactus has come to devour a long-awaited meal, Earth. The only thing stopping him from this is King Thor, grumpy all-father of the gods and sole protector of a desolated Earth. He is the much older version of Thor, titular god of thunder and protector of Earth, or as he and his fellow Asgardians call it, Midgard. When he's not enjoying a cup of coffee at his favorite diner in Broxton, Oklahoma, a small town near the floating realm of Asgardia, Thor can be found destroying pollution-spewing factories owned by Roxxon's CEO, Dario Agger, a.k.a. the Minotaur. In a brainstorming session with some of his employees involving hungry bears and the reveal of his true form as that of a literal minotaur, Agur devised a plan to get revenge on Thor for destroying said factories, build new ones in Broxton. Needless to say, that won't sit well with Thor or with S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Roz Solomon. Environmentalist and Thor's current crush, she has enlisted the God of Thunder's help in getting companies like Roxxon to stop polluting the Earth. Otherwise, she fears these may be, speaking of logos here, the last days of Midgard. Part 3 of 5, God, Inc. Let us turn the page and see what excitement the story has in store. So we have a full-page spread here, beautiful full-page illustration here. We have Galactus, and he is kind of encased, old man Thor, in a energy bubble, which he's kind of pressing between his hands. We've seen him do something like this before with the Silver Surfer, so I like that they've kind of gone back to that old kind of style of you know, the way that Galactus fights. I mean, somebody's paying attention. Somebody's actually going back to some of the old comics and looking at the kind of thing that Galactus does when he's battling somebody. The caption says, "The far future, the final hours of planet Earth." And Galactus is gloating here.
"I give you leave to die now, God of Thunder. May your last thoughts be of the world you cherished. The world you failed to save." And there's a lot of glowing, and Thor's going, "Rrrr!" "Still, I say thee nay. Thou shalt go hungry this day, Galactus, except for the bitter taste of disappointment and thine own infernal blood. So swears All-Father Thor." And he draws back Mjolnir, and he smashes Galactus's hand so hard that we see like blue energy kind of leaking out of his hand, and Galactus is like, "Oh!" And Thor is leaping out of Galactus's hand, and his hand is all, Galactus's hand, that is all smoky and, I don't know, bleeding energy or whatever. "Ha! Even the bones of giants can be broken. I should know. I felled the entire race." "Then let us name you the God of Broken Fingers," says Galactus. "While I am still the Devourer of Worlds." And he takes his big old foot, smashes Thor underneath his foot, but that doesn't have much effect, as we have Thor just burrowing under the ground and bursting his way out.
"Beggar of meals, more like. Here, beggar, have a taste of this."
And he takes his hammer and he shoots these green energy bolts out of his hammer with a foom, and strikes Galactus right in the face with his sort of energy bolt, and Galactus is like, "Grr!
The Thor force doth not agree with thee, it seems. You would think someone who eats planets for a living might boast a stronger stomach."
And he takes Mjolnir and he just wallops Galactus right in the stomach, like really, really hard. "And lo, Galactus vomits," says the caption. "The molten energies of a thousand worlds." He's going, "Bleh!" And he's throwing up this like purplish black sort of liquid. So I guess we now know what the energy of a thousand worlds look like. I have an issue with this. Maybe we'll talk about this in the end. "And his rage doth burn like a billion supernovas, and his fists do fall with a force of the same." And he's kind of, Galactus is hammering Thor into the ground, going, "Rrrr!" And a boom. And we see moments later, it says, on the other side of the Earth, Thor comes bursting through. So Galactus basically punches Thor all the way through the ground and smack into the moon. And Thor hits the moon so hard that the moon cracks into pieces with a kabroom, which, you think that his, I don't know, the momentum would not be enough to destroy the moon. But anyway. So Thor gets smashed in the moon, and we see Thor's hammer returning to him, and he's like,
"The moon. The bastard punched me through the earth and broke the moon. I quite liked that moon."
And the caption says, "As he streaks through space at the speed beyond knowing, the king of Asgard swears to himself that he will forge a new moon for his beloved Midgard. From the giant severed head of his foe." You know, Galactus is not that much bigger than Thor. I think his head would make a lousy moon. Anyway. "While the Devourer of Worlds stands ready to feast on the soul of a god." And Galactus, you can see his hand is smoking and his armor is looking kind of battered here. And we have Galactus shooting energy, you know, kind of orange and yellow glowing energy. And on the other side, we have Old Man Thor shooting energy that's kind of white and blue. And yet it's kind of this cold versus hot color thing. It's really very well done. And the earth doth shudder and heave beneath their fury like a great sickly beast gasping for air. And we get a far off view of Earth and the big explosion kind of bursting off. On the opposite page, we actually have an ad here for Lowrider magazine featuring the new Ghost Rider. So, yeah, so I guess they have a new Ghost Rider and he looks lame as hell. Anyway, we shift scenes and we go to Oklahoma, where the sky apparently is purple and pink. And we see present-day Thor, our Thor, kind of flying through the sky here. And we get a little bit of exposition here, as we had before. And keep in mind, during this time, he's actually just kind of making his way towards Broxton. 3 weeks he's been away. 3 weeks spent saving the cosmos with the Avengers. He's missed his goats and his phoenix feather bed on Asgardia, and walks with all Mother Freya through the gardens of the gods. But more than all that, he's missed the feel of the earth beneath his boots. He's missed Broxton. The Thursday nights spent drinking with the volunteer fire department. The laughter of the women in the nursing home as he tells them of the elves of Alfheim or the dragons that once ruled the world. The god-sized porterhouse special at Simonson's Steakhouse. The children who smell of fresh-baked pies. The boundless quiet come dusk. Jane. And the sky so big, so full of stars that it reminds him of the majesty of old Asgard. The dawn so pure and clear, it's as if you could see all the way to the edge of. And as he is approaching Broxton, he starts to cough, and it's because the air is like super, super polluted now. The edge of everything. And he's kind of, the sky is all brown and yucky, and it didn't take long to pollute that place. And he's like, buzzards of hell. And he's looking out on Broxton, and everything is all purple and brown and yicky looking. And we still see that, you know, Asgardia is floating above Broxton. But also floating above Broxton, there's a bunch of these Roxxon mobile factories, and they're causing all sorts of mischief. We get a double page spread here of Thor and the kind of the scene that he's looking at.
Asgardia hangs proud as ever, he says. But these other islands, bellowing smoke, what in the name of all the gods? Even the streets of Broxton seem different, almost as if... No, this cannot be.
And he sees that the gas station has changed into a Roxxon station, and hears a voice from behind him, says, Thor, and it's Roz, of course. I've been trying to get a hold of you for weeks. You should really get a cell phone. Look, before you go and do something rash, just stop and listen to me for a second, okay?
Agent Solomon, tell me at once, how did this happen?
It started a few weeks ago, when Roxxon got approval from the State Senate to move their flying factories in. They even got some big fat tax breaks for doing so. After that, they started buying up every piece of the town they could. Times are still hard around here. Lots of folks couldn't afford to say no.
This is all because of...
Thor, listen to me. You have to let me handle this. I will shut these factories down, I promise you. But we have to do this the right way, the legal way. Thor, are you hearing me?
And other people are kind of approaching Thor here. And
Thor, they bought the bank, took my house away. My father built that house.
They say we have to close the nursing home. Folks there can barely breathe anyway. What with all this mess in the air?
Something's wrong with the water. Tastes like gasoline. I think they did something to it.
Thor, why is this happening? Thor?
And Thor is not going to hang around to hear all these people complaining. He just takes off, and Roz is like,
oh, hell. Not good. Not good at all.
And Thor goes zooming off, and he's off to cause some destruction of his own, no doubt. Then we have an ad for Full Sail University, which is where my brother-in-law actually has his degree from, so that's kind of interesting. Moments later, on Roxxon Island, they hear a rumble of thunder, and we have Mr. D. Agger, and he's saying, hear that? Means he's coming. I do hope we are prepared, Mr. Randolph.
Yes, sir. Mr. Agger, sir. That is, if if you're still certain you want to do this. There's at least $1 trillion worth of equipment out here, sir, and we have no idea how Thor is liable to react.
He carries a hammer, Mr. Randolph. I think I've got a fairly good idea of how he'll react. And just as he says that, Thor lands with a wham-mow and knocks over bits of equipment and, yeah, whatever this, I don't know, this, it looks like a helicopter or something got smashed. Men of Roxxon, make peace with whatever gods will have you. Defend your CEO, gentlemen. I'll pay $1 million for every drop of his blood that's spilled. And there's these guys in weird armor, you know, like futuristic armor, and they're shooting rays at him with a fatoom, fatoom. And Thor is just deflecting shit with his hammer, throwing his hammer around. And they're shooting cannons at him with brat, boff, boom. And we have Thor's throwing his hammer, smashing helicopters and that sort of thing. And we cut to Roz, who's flying around in her flying car.
Oh, God, it's already started.
She's talking to Coulson, obviously.
I have F-35s on standby and Captain America on speed dial. Just tell me what you need, Agent Solomon.
Lawyers, Coulson. I have a feeling we're going to need a whole lot of lawyers.
Thor's smashing gear, and he hears a voice.
Thor! Put that tank down! You're done here!
I guess that's a tank. It doesn't... I don't know. Anyway.
Or else next you're fighting me!
Now that I would like to see, says Agger.
Agger! Be you fool or madman, I care not. But you will end this cowardly assault on Broxton at once. Or else know the full wrath of Thor.
Assault? Wherever did you get such a foolish notion? I've recently made a significant financial investment in Broxton. As CEO of Roxxon, I've brought new job opportunities and cultural amenities to those good people. In just a matter of weeks, I've reinvigorated what was a small-town economy on the brink of collapse. I did this, Thor, as a gesture of goodwill towards you, after the awkwardness of our previous encounter.
Gesture of...
Thor!
Since money is all you crave, Agger, so be it. I will buy Broxton from you. There is enough gold in the vaults of Asgardia to satisfy even your greed. Take of it what you will, but leave the people of Broxton be.
I don't want your money, Thor. At least not until you're on your knees begging me to take it.
I will pay you, Agger, in gold or in Uru. The choice is yours, and he's brandishing Mjolnir in front of Agger's face.
I suppose we're about done here, wouldn't you say, boys? Says Agger, and you hear a voice from behind him.
Yes, sir. I believe we've heard quite enough.
Thor Odinson of Asgard, you've just been served. And he's handing him a summons, I guess.
What is this?
Oh, hell. It means they're suing you.
As you've never been sued before, I can assure you. Roxxon is not only seeking recompense for the damages incurred here today, but also for the recent destruction of various facilities of ours around the globe. Destruction that our meteorological experts will testify could have only have been the result of Thor's well-documented weather manipulation powers. First thing tomorrow, we'll be going before judges in every civilized country in the world to file restraining orders that will prohibit Thor from coming within 300 yards of any Roxxon facility on the face of the earth. And that includes the aforementioned town of Broxton, Oklahoma.
This cannot be.
Go back to fighting goblins and rescuing unicorns, Thor, or whatever it is that you were doing before you met me, says Agger. And in the future, try to choose your opponents a bit more carefully. And Agger goes wandering off, and Thor's like, Yarg! Gods, always such sore losers, says Agger. And we then shift scenes once again back to the far future. King Thor, old man Thor, fighting against Galactus, and the battle's still raging, going back and forth, shooting rays at each other, smashing each other with hammers, blah, blah, blah. And we get a little bit of exposition here. The roars of battle are heard across galaxies. Before the power's unleashed, even the stars shudder and blink, like frightened children covering their eyes. The more they rage, the more the ground beneath their feet turns to dust. No matter who claims victory this day, it would appear that Earth is doomed. And we have You know, Galactus blasting Thor the ray, Thor smashing Galactus right in the face with his hammer, and it looks like he knocked out one of Galactus's teeth, which I guess would be kind of difficult.
Galactus! Yield, you pompous glutton! Yield or die!
And something is coming closer to him. I'm not sure what's going on. He says,
"Buzzards of hell!" once again.
And he's guess he's discovered a cavern full of skeletons. And so, yeah, there's evidence of his previous failures, I guess.
"You failed the Earth before, I see. Failed to save those wretched humans from themselves. I suppose after all these eons, you must be rather used to failure,"
says Galactus, and kind of coming up in front of him all glowy.
"I will show you what I am used to, giant."
"After the pain of so much failure, I imagine the sting of one more will hardly be felt at all. You tell me, Thor, you tell me if you feel this. Tell me if it stings."
And we see that Galactus is building up a giant energy blast of some kind and just smashes Thor with his energy blast. And Thor goes flying, and we shift back to the present day, and we are getting kind of an inner monologue here from D. Agger and his fight with Thor, and we see this kind of a scene of what's going on, and we have Thor kind of flying there, and we have it looks like the wreckage of the machinery that Thor destroyed. And then we close out with a scene of "Welcome to Broxton, where gods fear to tread." And they spell Broxton with two X's like rocks on. And the narration goes, "Today was a monumental day. Today I did something even I'd never done before. Today I hurt a god. I hurt him where he felt it the most. I ripped from his grasp the thing he cherished above all else, and I claimed it for my own to do with as I please. But this victory, though sweet, does not mean an end to the pain. Oh, no." And we shift scenes to one of the Roxxon facilities, and we have D. Agger sitting there in a chair. He's having a conversation with somebody. "This god's pain has scarcely begun. I want him humbled. I want him on his knees. I want him broken in ways he never imagined possible. My research department tells me that you are someone who might be of use in such matters." And we see who he's talking to, and it is Ulic the Troll. And he says,
"Aye, for the right price, Ulic will break your god and anything else that needs breaking."
Next issue, the Thunder God and the Troll. And of course, we'll have a few comments about the issue right after this message.
Star Trek. Comic books, mythology, video games, toys, Star Wars, just about any geeky topic you can think of could be covered on the Hammer Podcast, presented by two true freaks. Come join me, Gene Hendricks, for whatever my disjointed mental processes can come up with. And be careful, or you might just learn something before we're done. The Hammer Podcast is available monthly, both on its own iTunes feed and at twotruefreaks.com.
Indeed, and you should go check out Gene's show because he's a friend of this show, and if you like this show, then you're probably going to like his show even more. Anyway, so we do have a few things to say about this issue of Thor God of Thunder, issue number 21. Once again, beautifully, beautifully drawn. This is, the story has remained strong, but if anything, I think he said Rebic's art has gotten better since the beginning of the story. I think that it's just phenomenally well drawn. Now, there are occasionally issues with detail, but this is a quibble. This is really minor, where we have some enormously evocative artwork, but then there's some places where it's really, really Spartan. And you can see that the artwork was originally very Spartan. They just went ahead and added a lot of detail and so forth in the coloring. The coloring, of course, is absolutely phenomenal. I think, you know, Ives Sorcina has really knocked it out of the park. We have really nice use of color. It's not all gloomy and gray. You know, there's actually... It's more muted than your typical 60s Marvel comic, obviously, because, you know, we're dealing with a more modern audience. There's always these flashes of color, always really, really good use of the hot colors and the cold colors and contrast. You know, it's just a really, really nice job overall on the art. And not a lot of the awkwardness that we've had from Rebic in the past. I'm thinking back to the, you know, the Gore the God Butcher stuff that we had in the beginning of the series. So, you know, I have to say it's been a real pleasure to have Esad Rebic back on the book because I really, really like his stuff on Thor. Story-wise now, okay, the story is still moving along, but this kind of dragged. I mean, really, this issue was all about the setup for Thor getting sued. That's really what this issue was about. So everything that happened in this issue was about leading up to that. And so I find that interesting. You know, I like the fact that, you know, they're not rushing through it, but at the same time, you know, it's going at a good pace. I guess that's my bottom line here, is that the story is going at a good pace. Of course, you know, they're writing for the trade, so of course they have to kind of go at a good pace. I have a couple of observations anyway about the story, and the first one I kind of alluded to before, and that is when Thor belts Galactus right in the stomach, it makes him puke. I don't know what Galactus's internal organs are like, but that's not something I think that really happens, is it? I mean, I don't know. I've never known of anybody who got hit in the stomach and then puked, particularly not got puked up the remains of dead planets. That kind of goes against, in my opinion, how Galactus was established. I don't think anybody has ever argued that Galactus actually physically eats the planet. It's more like he drains the energy from the planet. Why would the energy create the sort of sludge in his belly? It made, I guess, for an interesting visual, but, you know, how many people have really wanted to see Galactus puke up planets? I don't know. I suppose there's somebody out there who wanted to see that. For me, however, it really doesn't work that well. Yeah, Roz Solomon kind of wasted in this issue. There really wasn't a lot she could do other than try to stop Thor from smashing up all the helicopters and shit. But, you know, they've got it set up. Now, I don't see how getting a court order or whatever, you know, against Thor to stay away from Roxxon facilities is really going to affect him. I mean, basically, he's in charge of a whole entire other realm. I mean, he's not from Earth. He's from Asgard. Does Earth law actually apply to him? Do these Earth corporations have the standing to actually sue Thor? Or does he have diplomatic immunity as Prince of Asgard? You know, these are questions that I think we're going to find answered perhaps in later issues of the series. I really don't think that Thor cares that much about a summons, that he's actually going to care what he does to Roxxon. But I know that, you know, that's how they have to do the cliffhanger and all that stuff anyway. But anyway, yeah, so it's hard to know what to say about these issues. Like I said last time and the time before, these are a really good story and really well written, really well drawn. I'm really enjoying it. And with that, it's time to wrap up the show. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And of course, if you want to email the show, we do encourage that sort of behavior. You can email the show at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And we really do like hearing from you. Now, remember, we have a retrospective of the Lee Kirby run coming up in the I don't really know exactly what episode yet. It's in the works, and it may not be for a few episodes. You might want to do it after we wrap up Thor God of Thunder. I'm really not sure what's going on yet. But it is going to happen soon, and it is something that we're actively working on. And if you want to have your say, now's the time to get it in. Remember just to email us. You can also join the Facebook group and just look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook, and you will find us. And with that, it's time to wrap up the show for this week. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.